Hello and welcome to the greenest show on earth, the Green Front, that is, where we cover the latest and most important news developments happening on your planet each and every week. Today we'll start with Dr. Susan Shaw. She's a marine expert who says our oceans are becoming a toxic soup. She should know. She personally dove into the Gulf of Mexico after the BP oil spill almost 3 years ago. She says the dispersant used was almost as damaging, perhaps even more so, than the oil that gushed into the Gulf. Next, we'll get to one of our favorite areas of focus on this program. Regular listeners know we focus on what the media is saying or not about our many environmental challenges. And we'll find out how they did covering climate change in 2012, the hottest year on record in these United States. We'll be talking with Media Matters of America. They tally all that, and we'll get some great insights from Shauna Thiel. And last but not least, we'll chat with a fellow PRN host, Karen Hartglass, about the connections between greener food and a healthier planet. Very pleased to welcome back to the Green Front my co-host, whenever he's available, D.R. Tucker. Hey, D.R.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good. Well, before we introduce Dr. Shaw, I just want to take a quick minute to say congratulations to President Obama for taking action and showing real leadership on gun control. All we need now is the same kind of action and attention on climate change. I couldn't help but thinking, as all this talk from Biden and Obama about, you know, reaching a tipping point and we can't continue with business as usual, and hey, it's all about future generations and protecting them and their safety. It just kept popping up for me that this is, if you substitute climate change control with gun control, we would be, you know, really seeing some action, and hopefully that's next up on the agenda.
Not to use an unfortunate pun, but 2012 certainly provided a lot of smoking gun evidence for the need to take action.
Ammunition. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're not joking about anything as tragic as Newton. Be sure of that. We're just glad to see action and leadership that we knew President Obama is capable of, and very dramatic to have those kids up there on stage. Of course, Rush Limbaugh, I just saw a headline, is already mocking that, calling them human shields. Sometimes, if I ever have violent fantasies, he's always the first one in the in the picture. But don't worry, I don't have a gun. So I want to, without further delay, introduce our first guest. Very pleased to have Susan Shaw on the program. She is president and founder of the Marine Environmental Research Institute, professor of the School of Public Health and Environmental Health and Sciences at SUNY at Albany, New York. And she, as we mentioned in the open, was very active in letting the world know about the dangers of the dispersants that were being used pretty aggressively in the wake of that spill. So welcome to the Green Front, Dr. Shaw.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You have a long and very impressive bio. I'll get to some of that as we go forward, but I didn't want to waste too much time getting to you. It was something that really grabbed me in looking at some of the information about you is that our oceans are becoming a toxic soup. That's pretty dramatic, and based on everything that I've been hearing after interviewing ocean experts for about 15 years now, is it definitely is going in that direction, which is shocking and mind-boggling. The only thing that matches that is, you know, how little, you know, is heard about that in mainstream media every day, given all the focus on other issues of the day. You were personally, professionally, physically involved in coming to this conclusion, at least in so much as the dispersant and oil in the Gulf spill is concerned. Tell us, first of all, what prompted you to dive down into the goop and the goo, the toxic mess, kind of putting your own personal health at risk, perhaps, to get, you know, information that is really important to get out there.
Well, actually, it's interesting. When I went out to see what was going on with the dispersants, it was about a month after the Deepwater Horizon rig had exploded. So this is late May 2010. And I went out on a small vessel to look at the oil spreading and see the impact of the dispersants. And as an environmental toxicologist, I knew what the chemicals were, and I knew what the reactions might be. But when I didn't actually intend to dive. When I got out there, I felt compelled to do it because I knew that unless I went underwater, I would never know exactly what was happening down there. So I actually, it took me a while to get my courage up to get into that soup. And I dove down, and as I went down, I was actually quite alarmed. And I would use the word horrified to describe it because as you know this as a chemist, and you have information that you learn from studies and so forth, but when you actually see something like this happening on a huge scale, it's pretty horrifying. The dispersants are chemicals that break up lipid membrane, and that's the way they break into the oil. So as you're going down in the water column, you're seeing the oil that's a very thick pudding-like material is being broken into tinier and tinier pieces. And as that's happening, it's releasing hydrocarbons, and there's an intense odor from this this solvent that's on the surface of the water. And you instinctively know, even if you're not a scientist, that this is very toxic, because it starts to get into your lungs, into your eyes. You can't breathe. It's just overwhelming. And so breaking up the oil, it was releasing a lot of hydrocarbon both in the water and on the surface. And then as I went down, I realized that I was watching dead things swim around me that were getting into this toxic mix. And so I surfaced pretty quickly, and I wrote about what I had seen, and having the personal experience made it so real for me. And I had done a lot of work. I was appointed to the Department of Interior Strategic Science Working Group to assess the consequences of the oil spill. And so I was able to bring that experience into the assessment and advise policy.
Dr. Shaw, since we're almost approaching the third anniversary of the Deepwater Horizon spill, what is the current status of the Gulf in terms of its overall health? I take it that it's still not fully recovered, and it may never be. And what did you make of the politics of the BP oil spill? We all remember that awful scene of Congressman Joe Barton of Texas apologizing to BP for having to face financial penalties for what they did. Have we really learned the lessons of the BP oil spill, or do you think that something like this could happen, at any moment again?
Well, as we are watching the Arctic drilling with, trepidation, and we do all know that this can happen again, and it's likely to happen again in a sensitive and challenging environment like the Arctic, where if a spill does occur, there is no way to contain it or retrieve the oil when it gets on the ice or under the ice. So actually, I think, in my opinion, we could have learned a lot more from the spill if we weren't so busy suppressing the information. And that goes for our own agencies and BP. And I think one of the tragedies of this was the response to the spill. We need to have the spill itself should not have ever happened. There should have been tighter safety measures. So if some of those safety requirements are being tightened up, that's on one hand a good thing, but the response to the spill was the cheap and dirty way to handle an oil spill. And not to press this point, but when you pour toxic chemicals on a toxic petroleum oil spill in an ocean in an area that contains over 15,000 marine species, you're talking about doing something with unknown consequences and very long-term damage, not only to the marine species that are in the water column, but also to the people on the land. And I actually had an opportunity. I'm a doctor of public health, and I had an opportunity to interview some of the people that lived in what's called Ground Zero of that oil spill, which is on right around Barataria Bay and Grand Isle, Louisiana, right off the coast. And when the dispersants were being sprayed, those people were often being also sprayed, and communities were being sprayed because the spray would blow up on the land. So you had school children who had bleeding from the ears and all kinds of memory loss at age 14, age 9. You just have this combination of oil and dispersant is extremely toxic. more toxic than either one alone. And I've written about this and spoken quite a bit about it. But what we have now are, I'm going to say, we're starting to see the results come in, but it's still going to take a long time. We know that dolphins were severely affected. Hundreds of dolphins died. Newborn baby dolphins died, meaning that the mothers were miscarrying. We have a graveyard of deep water corals in the Gulf, off the coast of Louisiana. It's just absolutely tragic. If you go down, it's a toxic muck. You have oil that's sitting on the bottom now that'll be in the environment down there and recycling for decades to come. Because when you sink the oil, the fate of the oil is such. Remember, we had the plumes, and these big plumes were circling around, and we were afraid that the plumes would get into the loop current and go up the Atlantic side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what happened is the oil was sinking into the sediments on the bottom. And once it's there, it's there. It's a reservoir and a sink for it. So it's a very unfortunate. It's the largest environmental disaster in U.S. history. I don't think it's been helpful to suppress information about it. I think that all of us want these bad things to go away. It's just it's human nature. But we really do need to talk now more about not so much about climate change, as about toxic chemicals. We have 80,000 toxic chemicals in commerce. We going beyond the dispersants, we also have these chemicals that we're using in our everyday lives, and we all assume that the government's protecting us from anything that's going to be harmful to our health or to our children. And actually, our laws are so outdated. The Toxic Substances Control Act of 1976 has never been reformed, and we have sitting now in the Senate the Safe Chemicals Act of 2011 that Frank Lautenberg put forward has been passed out of committee, needs to be passed now by the Congress, and that's for me a very hopeful sign. I mean, I'm talking about chemicals that we're using in our homes and consumer products that are also getting out into the oceans. And though I'm going to focus a little bit on the flame retardant chemicals that are in our furniture, foam furniture. They're in baby products, baby strollers, baby toys. They're in textiles, textile backings. They're in fast food wrapping. They're in plastics, hard plastics, soft plastics.
Now, I want to just interrupt you for a second, Dr. Shah, to give you credit for being the first scientist, I understand, to show us that flame retardant chemicals used in consumer products, you know, have contaminated marine mammals and likely humans and PBDEs. I think that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because actually where I encountered these chemicals was, it was about 7 years ago, and when I was doing sentinel species research along the Northwest Atlantic coast from Maine down to about New Jersey, looking at chemicals in the tissues of marine mammals and fish. So here were the flame retardants building up in tissue, and they got to, the levels are becoming so high that it became alarming to me. And these are the same flame retardants that are also in the tissues of all Americans now. So there's a need to say something about that. And I to start the conversation is that you think flame retardants are doing something good. They're stopping fires. And indeed, what we've actually found in the last 2 or 3 years is that these chemicals that are toxic and added to products to retard the ignition of fires are actually not working that well, and they make fires more toxic. So there's a need for complete full disclosure from the industry, from the government, about what these chemicals are and what they are doing to our health. They cause a whole range of health problems in people, from cancer to neurological problems and IQ deficits in children to reproductive problems in people trying to get pregnant. And it just goes from A to Z. You know, the amount of problems that we are exposed to by the use of these chemicals in our lives. So one of the things I've been working on is what do we do, because I think when you hear about this, you think the problems are overwhelming, and if the government's mm-hmm. not taking care of it, what can we all do?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say there are many things that all of us can do, and I feel very hopeful because I'm feeling now that people are taking up this issue to such an extent that we're going to see real change.
I hope so. And I've had Ricky Ott, Dr. Ott, on over the years during the BP spill, back mm-hmm. when she wrote her book about the Alaska Exxon Valdez spill. So most of this information does not surprise me. Sadly, I've been aware of it. But do you think most Americans are aware of the extent of the problem in terms of threats to ocean health, but also human health?
I think not. I believe that most Americans believe that they're being taken care of. And honestly, we ought to be able to look to our leaders for this kind of protection from toxic exposure. We're not getting that. So we deserve protection from our leaders in Congress. We deserve it from leaders in business. We deserve it from, you know, leaders, global leaders that are working on government reform and, global initiatives should be also dealing with this, because there's such a I think that when people learn how exposed they are and how exposed their children are and how many chemicals we all carry in our bodies, I think it's quite a shock. So our big job now is building awareness.
And I just want to ask about the news blurb at the top from Brad and Desi of the Green News Report. It was great to have them back on the show after a couple of weeks away on holiday. I think I heard that BP is going to have to pay the government $1.5 billion. Do you think that's sufficient?
I thought it was thought it was on the light side, but I think that they, and this is something that they have planned for and can accommodate. My opinion is that it should have been higher, and certainly they're still involved in some of these civil suits, and we'll see what will come of that. But it's a substantial sum, and I thought it might be more in view of the damage that's been caused. And it's going to be ongoing damage. We really haven't gotten a good measure of it yet, and we won't know for at least 10 or 15 years how extensive the damage to human health is going to be in the Gulf.
Hmm.
And it's a really awful legacy for people to live with. It's an awful, it creates, distrust and apprehension in people, and that's, we don't need that. That's not the way that we should be doing business. There are so many innovative technologies out there. It's one of the things that my institute is supporting, the Marine Environmental Research Institute, are the new containment strategies, the new technologies that are being developed. And some of those, for example, with all the oil, the 5 million barrels that were spilled into the Gulf could have been contained and almost like vacuumed up with these containment machines within about 30 days. So there's a lot of hope out there in innovation and technology. It's just that there's a huge learning curve. I don't think the American public knows about this. So it's one of the things I'm trying to do with our campaign, which is called Stop Toxic Ocean Pollution. And part of that is certainly to raise awareness very broadly and involve people in actions that are effective and successful, so that we create hope and we create a future for all of us that we want to be part of.
I couldn't agree more, and we are out of time, but DR, any quick last questions for Dr. Shaw?
Yes, Dr. Shaw, in reviewing your work and your work on the issue of microplastics, I came across a story indicating that apparently the NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association, that they don't actually test for microplastics in the ocean. Is that correct? And if so, why is that the case?
That microplastics are a new phenomenon that has been really brought to consciousness in the last 2 or 3 years in a broad way, and we are just now learning about that as a society, that, you know, it's not just the big gyres that are full of plastic circulating around, but in the oceans, it's the tiny fragments that are present on beaches that are coming through sewage, basically. And we're doing a study of microplastics along the Maine coast. It's the first study that's ever been done on our coastline. And I think there are similar studies that are starting to be done. It's sort of a bottom-up kind of process. But eventually, I believe NOAA will be looking at that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Susan.